How do you communicate in an emergency or without cell coverage when you're driving in your RV or camping somewhere? Well, we're going to get into that today. But before we jump into that, we're going to talk about enjoying the RV life. And today's segment is going to be about driving safely in an RV. That requires lessons. All right. Then after that, we're going to go to our next stop, which is Fayetteville, Wisconsin, a paradise for RV enthusiasts. And finally, we're going to talk about torque lift camper tie downs. So if you have a slide in camper, this might be important to you, or if you have a friend who does. Either way, if you learn or listen, you learn, right? So this is Eric Stark with the Smart RVer podcast, delivering the smarts you need to enjoy the freedom of the RV lifestyle without the fear of breaking down. Let's talk everything RV, and today is episode 149, so let's jump right into it. And Alexis is back with us for another show.
Yay, I'm back.
She's back. All right, ready to go today?
Sure.
Yeah, it's amazing. One episode filled with confidence, the next one, not so much.
Yeah, well, you didn't let me talk as much in the last one, so.
Oh, that's what it is.
Feeling.
Right, well, with that being said, let's get right into enjoying the RV life. I'll skip everything else I had to say and just, we'll start the show with you jumping right in.
I feel honored. Okay.
So tell us, how do we drive safely in an RV?
I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. There's lots of ways. If you're new, which, you know, a lot of us are going into this RV life, we want to be as safe as possible and as good at maneuvering around our RV as we can be. So something Eric and I were talking about was just take some RV driving lessons. A lot of times in your area, wherever you are maybe a little bit of a ways away, you can find a place that will offer that. So making sure that you're familiar with the RV, how it works, how it turns. It's very different from a car or a truck, you know. We need to know how to do that. So that's the first thing. And RVsafety.com can also offer some things that might be helpful for when you're starting out, just so you can get used to it and be a good driver on the road. We don't want to crash into things. So we want to focus on that. It's important.
Right. So Alexis asked, you know, around here, is there someone that gives driving lessons for RVs? And I don't know if there is or there isn't.
Yeah.
And a lot of areas, there might not be somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Or I should say in some areas, a lot of areas there probably are. There's always people that do this.
Right.
Or maybe they're in seasonal areas. You know, like I know in Arizona, there's plenty of guys that give these lessons. You know, you might think, oh, well, heck, I don't need to learn how to drive my RV, but pulling a trailer or a motorhome is totally different than driving your car, your truck.
Yes, it is.
And it's not a slight, it's just reality. It helps. And especially if you have a spouse that might be pulling or driving from time to time, mm-hmm. having them sitting in on those lessons.
Yeah.
And too, is they generally have you do it in your RV.
Smart.
So you're familiar with it. It's your RV. It's not some general RV that doesn't even look or feel like yours.
Right.
So that helps as well. And so they can give you insights into things that you're probably not going to pick up from your buddy telling you or someone, or maybe you even drive a truck for a living. Well, driving an RV is similar. If you did that for a living, you might not want the lessons, might not be worthwhile. A 40-foot motorhome is different than a truck and a trailer.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or even pulling a travel trailer. And so what are some of the other benefits that having a lesson might bring out, Alexis?
Well, like you said, if you're never the one driving it, you know, what if there's an emergency and you need to know how to do that? If your spouse is usually the one or the person you're with, you need to be ready to be able to do that and have the confidence to. And again, a lot of campsites are kind of tight quarters. So if you're going down this narrow road, you know, you want to know what your turning radius is and how to get into a spot. Right. If it's not a pull through, you need to know how to back in. And there is some tricks and, you know, things that make it easier for that. And two, if you're nervous about it, research where you're going if you've never been there before you go, so you kind of know what to expect. Is it a 4-lane highway the whole way, or is it 2-lane? You know, be ready. Just it's not a stupid thing to do. Just be ready to do it. It prevents accidents. It prevents stress. You know, we want our RVers to have fun, have good experiences when it comes down to it.
There's even two-lane highways in the United States that you'd have a very difficult time turning a truck and trailer around on.
See? Yeah.
In a motorhome, it'd take a while, then you're worried about oncoming traffic. So knowing how to drive in those situations would be very important.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. It might be where you couldn't turn around, but knowing that you couldn't turn around can save a whole lot of headache and grief, even
exactly.
a life, possibly.
Exactly. Yeah.
Another thing cool about some of these guys that do these lessons, they make sure you understand how to change a spare.
Smart.
Do some basic pre-flight checks. Out on the road.
Absolutely.
You know, some basic things, maybe some tools to carry because they're mm-hmm. experienced, so they're going to look out for your well-being. So
yeah, it's good.
And another cool thing is even some RV insurance companies will give you a discount.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, they might say, hey, we like that. And so they're going to give you a little discount. And
there you go.
You know, with insurance rates going up and up and up, discounts certainly will not hurt.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and from experience, I remember one time we bought some ATVs and we went to the shop and, you know, we bought them and paid for them and I said, okay, now you guys got to take lessons. Like, what? You know, get out of here, man. You know, I thought he was nuts. And said, no, you can't take these until you take a lesson. Like, you got to be kidding me. So you get the ATVs, they were ours, and we had to go out in this field, each one of us, and do this little obstacle course they had. It wasn't real complex, and for me, it was ridiculous because I'm experienced, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think I learned anything, but my wife and daughter did.
See?
So they, for them, it was like, okay, and they felt more confidence because it wasn't me. It was somebody that knew what they were talking about, not me. Just go, go, go. So, you know, it might seem kind of ridiculous, but quite often they do. They are worthwhile.
Yes, I agree.
Even for your spouse, if you feel, oh, no problem, I can handle that. Well, maybe your spouse would like that.
Yeah.
That little reassurance there.
Yeah.
And sometimes people learn better when they hear it from someone other than you.
It's true. You know? It's true.
And the person teaching sometimes has a better demeanor about it.
Calmer, maybe.
All right, Alexis. So there you go. You got to talk a little bit.
Yay.
So now let's put that behind us.
Okay.
And move on to staying on the road. So the topic here is how can RVers communicate in an emergency situation or without cell phone coverage or just communicate in general without cell phone coverage? It's not always tied to an emergency because, you know, in the realm of RVing, you travel to places that sometimes are just out in the middle of nowhere. They're remote corners of the earth, if you will, you know, where cellular service maybe is sketchy or is not available at all, or it comes and goes, so you can't count on that. And then there might be times when you're out in your RV doing something, well, you wouldn't be in your RV, but you're camping someplace and you, where it just wouldn't be practical to use cell phones to communicate with someone. Like, and I mean, like, you know, it's two of you out doing something, you know, whether it's two or more of you, you're out hiking, biking, something like that, and you know, you take your cell phone out and you're trying to call someone you're with because they're a little behind or farther ahead and you just want to see if they're there and they're okay. Maybe you're on a trail and you can't see them. And, you know, you drop your phone and ride over it or something. That's ridiculous, you know. So phones aren't always practical, but sometimes that's all we have and we're using them. And some of these phones are pretty expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And even, you know, they're still a pain to use for that thing. You know, it's not just a push-to-talk situation. So keeping in touch with someone over a phone could be kind of a chore depending on what you're doing. You know, sometimes phones are very simple for that, but sometimes they're not. You know, and also it could be a situation where someone's out by themselves and, you know, they need assistance. Maybe they're hiking, maybe they're riding their bike and they take a spill and they need some help and they're by themselves. So having something to call for help and a cell phone might not work. It might not have a reception there. So having another way to get help can be very important. And quite often we don't think about this. Now I know some RVers use walkie talkie type radios, which is very cool. That works, you know, and that's basically what we're getting to here is, you know, something like that. But there probably isn't one device that's made that's going to replace a cell phone.
Right.
Other than probably a satellite phone. But all the other alternatives out there are just that. They're alternatives. They bridge a gap for a recreation situation or an emergency, but they're not going to replace a phone. So now, to cover some of the examples, there's family radios, which are your just basic walkie-talkies. They're very small. They're limited in some ways because of range. There's also GMRS radios, which is something mobile radio. Oh, I forget what.
I forget.
GMRS. Then there's GPS devices with SMS or texting capability built into it. There's bivy sticks. There's satellite phones. There's actually satellite sleeves for cell phones. So these things, one of them or a couple of these coupled together could really build this robust emergency communication toolkit.
Yeah.
You know, to go along with all the other things that you should have in your RV, like a first aid kit. Just, you know, basically part of that package. So now this isn't going to be a tech-driven conversation. We're not going to get into frequencies and wavelengths and antennas this and antennas that.
Thank goodness.
Kind of cables to use and blah, blah, blah. We're going to keep it really simple. And besides that, I don't know all that stuff anyways. Simplicity is king here. Mm-hmm. So as I said, these devices do not replace cell phones. They're just handy alternatives. That's really what it is. So now let's just kind of go through them one by one, and we're going to talk about what's available and how easy they are to use. And again, this isn't going to be a tech talk, okay? So I'm just covering the basics of what I think. This is what I think would be helpful in the RV application.
I'm over here drooling.
And now it also, you know, these devices can be used for much more than RVing. You can use them around the house if you're traveling in cars with groups of people. It goes beyond that, but since this is an RV podcast, you know, we'll apply it to the RV world, but you can use them anywhere, you know. They will work, you know, if they're not in your RV or if they can't see an RV present, they'll still work. So, as I was saying a little bit earlier, the FRS radios, family radio, they're basically walkie-talkies. I mean, they're better than, like, your really cheap walkie-talkies that a kid would have, you know. Mm-hmm. Parents would buy them a little set for $12 or something.
Yeah.
You know, they're better than that. They're limited because they're line of sight.
Oh, that's right.
So it's not 100% line of sight, but it's based on line of sight. So, for example, if you're going down the highway and it's a flat highway, and you'll say you're traveling with another car and they're in front of you and they're 3 miles ahead, the road's flat, you'll be able to talk to them. But if they all of a sudden drop down a hill and they're out of sight, you'll more than likely lose that conversation until you can see them again. You know, a little bit of trees and, you know, some curves of the road aren't so bad, but it's a line of sight thing. You know, another way to look at it would be as if you're standing on top of a mountain and they're at the base of the mountain and there's no trees, rocks, anything in the way, you're probably going to be able to talk to them. And that could be, you know, 10 miles.
Pretty cool.
But if something's in the way, it ruins that. Mm-hmm. And remember that even on a flat road, the curvature of the earth can cause a problem.
Yep.
So they work great, though. And the other downside to it is when you're talking on them, they have a lot of channels. I don't know how many. Anybody else in that channel hears your conversation.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you have to kind of go from channel to channel, maybe find one that no one's on if you're in an area where a lot of people are using them. And you might be surprised how many people are using these things, the mm-hmm. FRS radios, because they're inexpensive. The battery life is good, easy to use. You don't need a license. But what's cool about them is you set your channel and then you just push the button on the side to talk.
Yeah.
You're done talking. You stop pressing the button and then you listen. And you don't have to sing, just, hey, Bill, what's going on, you know? Using them is really simple, and that's where it makes it easier than a cell phone sometimes. They're more rugged. You can get waterproof ones, water-resistant ones. If you drop it, it's probably not going to break. You know, there's no lens on it to break like a cell phone, you know? They're easier, and they're small. You can put them in a pocket. They have belt clips on them, too, if you want a belt clip, just whatever your flavor is, you know? They're just super readily available. They're priced right, yeah. And they're great for traveling, too. If you're traveling with someone else and they're in a car in front of you, or if you're out riding bikes, hiking, whatever it is. Now, remember, it's distance, though. So if you're, you know, 5 miles away from your RV and you can't see it, people on the other end aren't going to be able to hear you if you're trying to talk to them. they have limitations. Great product, but limitations are available anywhere. Now, GMRS radios are another option. They're similar to FRS radios. They're kind of the same size, look the same. They work similarly. They have channels on them. You can select channels. They have repeaters that are set up around the United States. People put up repeaters, let's say, at their home, and so that extends the signal, and cool. You can get on a repeater if you know it's there. And there's charge for all that, but like I said, we're not going to get into all that. They have channels on them as well. So let's say channel 21 or channel 16. It's limited. It's not like the free range of channels, but there's a lot fewer people on them. And one of the reasons why is you need a license to use it. When you have a license, you get it through the FCC, which is not a big deal. I think it's $30 to do it. Lasts you for ever. That's where that, like, hey, this is XYZ939er signing off or whatever. Or as they say. And so, but they have a much better range. And it's line of sight, but it's definitely different line of sight. Like, we've tested them here, and we've found with line of sight, without a repeater, get about 7 miles.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's really good. And then it starts to break up. Now, on a repeater, you could have much, much, much greater range.
Wow, interesting.
So they're very handy, other than that license thing. Now, the licensing's up to you. Get it, don't get it, do what you want to do. But they're inexpensive as well. And like TID Radio makes one, TID Radio. There's Bofeng, which is Baofeng. And you can get them on Amazon.
The other one.
I mean, they have websites too, but the deals are on Amazon. And quite often you can get a two-pack for, some of them are $50, $60 for a two-pack. And that's with, extra batteries, charger, headset, earphones, the whole nine yards.
They're
super inexpensive. If you're really feeling good about it, you go to Alibaba and get like a 12 pack for like $12 a piece.
There you go.
But they're inexpensive, and that's kind of what makes them so cool. It's just that licensing thing. You decide what you want to do with that. But now if you're using walkie talkies or GMSR radios, FRS, you do want to have some protocols in place, like stay on this channel. If I can't get you on this channel, maybe there's a second channel you'd go to. But remember, now you're having to go back and forth between two channels.
Right.
So pick a channel and stay there. And some of these radios, you can lock it in once it's set. You can't change it, which is good. But still, you want everybody to know how to change radio, the channels, even the frequencies if need be. So that way they understand if something happens, they hit a button, oops, what happened? They can fix that. But they're not that difficult. Don't think these things are real technical. When you get into all the frequencies and stuff, it gets more complex. But just day in, day out using, fine. But just have those protocols, maybe check-ins. If you're you're out camping or something in the wilderness, you're away from the other person, maybe every 15 minutes or half an hour, just say, hey, are you there? Can you hear me? Basic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's common courtesy. You have them, now you can keep that going. Now, some people have heard of ham radios, and some people out there with RVs use ham radios, but we're not going to talk about those. Completely different animal, a little more complex to use. You definitely have to have a license with much more training. So if you have a ham radio, though, you can communicate in many different ways with people around the globe. And also, speaking of ham radios, some of these radios, you can get a ham/GMRS in one, and they work. So if you find one of those, it's like what you want, the battery life, and its price is right, just get one and just use the GMRS part of it. Not a big deal. And now there's also another option, which is a Garmin. They make GPSs that have SMS or texting built into them. So you have a GPS, which is cool. Mm-hmm. So it's a useful tool. And then it also has texting in it. So you can, and you have to pay for
that.
But they have a plan where you don't have to pay. You can pay for a month at a time, 3 months at a time, turn it off for 9 months out of the year, whatever you want to do. So you can just use it for texting back and forth if you're out on the trail someplace.
Nice.
If there's an emergency, you can text somebody, you can get a hold of somebody, which is nice.
That is. It's really cool.
And that if you're in a really bad situation where you've run out of options, there's an SOS button. And you hit that, then the cavalry comes.
Awesome.
Now, remember, when you hit that button and the cavalry comes, the cavalry's going to come with their hand out because they're going to want to get paid.
Ah, I see.
So make sure you really need to do it. If it's life and death or you're, you know, whatever it might be. But that's a great option. And that's where that texting, you know, you text someone, you know, hey, I'm out here. I'm stuck. I'm in a bad spot. I need a spare tire. I need this or that.
Mm-hmm.
Can you help me? You know, maybe they can, but they can find someone else that can.
Yeah.
Now, another cool option is a bivy stick. And these are unique unto themselves. That's for sure. So they have a website, bivystick.com, I think, mm-hmm. and it's a little stick. But it allows you to work with your cell phone. So it's not by itself. It works in conjunction with your cell phone, and it allows you to text and send an SOS. So you're not going to be using your cell phone to call somebody, but you're going to be able to text them, and I think possibly even email.
Oh, that's neat.
But
that's
texting, funny. You know, an emergency probably be quicker, yeah, more efficient,
definitely.
And more people don't really have email or check their emails often. No. But it's a nice alternative. And the bivy sticks, I think, are $250. Then you have to pay a monthly fee. And again, it's a flexible plan where you can keep it on, keep it off, depending on what you're doing, your activities. If you're out all year round, you just want to get all year round plan. And,
yeah.
And everything we talk about that has a plan, they have multiple variations of the plan, you know, like $15 a month, $30 a month, whatever, you know, bronze, silver, gold.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another great option. It has that SOS function as well. And by the way, you can get insurance for those SOS situations. You know, if you're always out doing stuff where if it goes wrong, you're going to need some serious help. Well, serious helps cost serious money. So you can get insurance for that, just so you're aware of that.
Interesting.
And another thing, and you see the bivy stick, the GPS, those are more emergency situations, you know. They're not the other ones we're just keeping in communication, like you're out hiking, biking. These are more of that serious situation. But it doesn't have to be life-threatening serious. Like you could have like the Garmin GPS, and you're going into an area where there's no cell service, but you get a flat, you can get help.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not standing on the side of the road with your thumb out waiting for, you know, someone to come pick you up. And now another cool little device is the satellite sleeve. So that will give you a satellite phone, basically, or turn your cell phone into a satellite phone.
That is so interesting. I've never heard of that.
It connects to your cell phone, and boom, now you're really cool.
That's awesome.
Now, the only thing that I thought about that is, with iPhones, it would probably work down the line if you got a new iPhone.
Yeah.
As long as the physical size is the same. But a lot of the Android phones come and go, man, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it might be limited. So you'd want to check on that because you wouldn't want to buy it. Then a year later, you get a new phone and the satellite sleeve's no good.
Right.
Seems to me they're $250 as well. They're a serious piece of equipment. They're not like a, you know, this imported garbage that you find on Amazon. Oops, did I say it out loud? Sorry.
Oh, whoops.
But they're good product. And finally, you get satellite phones. Now, satellite phones are the real deal. You can get different plans. You can, you know, be able to talk to 90% of the world, 100% of the world, talk, text, do whatever. But they come with a price tag. You know, satellite phones start at like $250 and go up. Then you have your monthly plans, and their monthly plans aren't as friendly as some of these other options.
Mm, gotcha.
You got it covered that way. Satellite phone, you can talk to anybody wherever.
Pretty
the
cool.
Ideal thing. But again, it's not the same as like a walkie-talkie or an FRS radio out on the trail or something. You know, even backing up an RV, having radios can help.
Absolutely.
Either help you back it up or maybe help you get a divorce. I'm not sure, but... But, you know, things like that. I mean, my wife and I, Karen, we use them around our house when we're working our irrigation system.
Yeah.
So we're not having to traipse back and forth, you know, 500 miles to turn something on or off. You know, we use those, so they make it real easy. So anyway, those are just some ideas for out when you're RVing, how to communicate with one another, you know, emergency situation every day, just whatever situation. So hopefully that helps. And by the way, the TID radio and Bofang were the two I mentioned for the GMRS, and the Garmin, I think it's called InReach, is for the GPS, and they're on their website, and you can get them in stores as well. But those are the three. Then FRS radios, they're all over the board, man. I wouldn't even worry about quality. I would just go for battery life, and they're all pretty much the same range, regardless of what they say. All right, now that brings us to the next stop, and we're going to be going to Fayetteville, West Virginia.
Okay.
And it is a paradise for RV enthusiasts.
It really is.
So now, Alexis.
Yes.
If you're an RV enthusiast, you're going to be able to just run through this and let me know everything is cool here.
Oh, okay. Sounds good. I am an enthusiast of RVs and other things. No, this is a cool place. It's in the heart of the Appalachian Mountains. I think we were actually just talking about how cool the Appalachians were.
We were.
Yeah. So it's kind of a hidden gem. It's like the perfect blend of you've got outdoor adventure, you've got scenic beauty, and then you've got this small town charm. So you kind of have it all in one. And it's got rich history, really a lot of recreational opportunities. The community's super nice. It's just a beautiful place to check out. There's the New River Gorge National Park that's right there. It's got world-class whitewater rafting. So if you're into rafting, this is the place you need to go to. Lots of RV parks, lots of trails, lots of biking trails. And then you've got the small town, too, so you can do some gift hunting, some shopping, whatever you need. It's right there.
Yeah, that's a mouthful. You know, I was looking at this, reading this over, and I was thinking that this Fayetteville, West Virginia is the package.
I agree. Yeah.
Everything is there for an RVer.
Yeah.
You know, it's like got it all.
It does. For real.
So... Yeah, I was going to look it up on a map and kind of do a little exploration this morning. I didn't have time, but
okay.
Just for myself, because I'm, you know, I'd like to go there.
Yeah, me too.
So this sounds like the place to look at or to go to, Fayetteville, West Virginia.
Yeah.
It seems to have everything for an RVer, lots to do, be a great family vacation.
Yes, it would.
You know, bring those phones and take a lot of pictures.
Yeah.
This would be the place. And the Appalachians are cool to begin with.
Oh, yeah. Very cool.
So, yeah, this is the place to go. So
plan your trip.
We highly recommend it.
Yes.
Here at the Smart RVer podcast. All right. So that brings us into the end of the next stop. So share this with your family and friends. Mm-hmm. And I forgot where I was going there. I'm looking at my notes and my notes are wrong.
Oh, man. Those darn notes.
Let me just pause. Alexis, take over the show for a second.
I can look something
up real quick.
You want me to do a song and dance? I could do that.
Yeah, that might work. Give me one second here. I got to find something real quick.
Yeah, he's usually more organized than this, you guys. But
that's
you know,
right.
It happens.
Torque lift camper tie down.
Oh, you got it.
About. My notes were wrong.
Gotcha.
Okay, so anyway, so we're going to talk about torque lift camper tie downs. Now, a lot of people, especially where we're at, campers, sliding campers, going to bed of your truck are very popular. And they're great because you can travel with them, you know, they're just easy. But what a lot of people do, man, is they'll use a bungee cord rather than a tie down that's made for the camper because they're just cheaper. You know, you get a bungee cord for what, 38 cents?
Mm-hmm.
Camper tie down system for $2,000, you know? And then there's different ones like stake pocket tie downs, which, you know, those go back to the 60s, 70s. They work not as good, but they will work. But, you know, looking at it from just the perspective of maybe you don't have a brand new camper, but you paid good money for it and you have a truck that can haul it. It's a nice truck. You might have $20,000, $60,000, $100,000 wrapped up in this package. So when it comes to the tie downs, it's no place to skimp. And we've seen people in here with trucks, with campers on the back, with, you know, they use straps, you know, like ratchet straps. The bed of the truck gets all smashed. The camper's got damage because it just doesn't work right. And that's where torque lift comes in. And there's also the Happy Jack system that's used for mostly older trucks. And it's owned by Lippert, but torque lift camper tie downs rock. They're expensive, but they're worth the money. You know, you might spend $1,700, $2,000, $1,500, depending on what you have, where you buy them, and all that. But it's well worth the money. These are brackets that mount on the frame of the truck. Then they have brackets, brackets that attach to them that you can remove. So you have brackets on the frame of the truck. These other brackets come out with just a simple pull of a pin and slide it out, and then you can store them away so they don't get damaged or stolen. But it's always there. But they attach the camper to the frame of the truck and not the bed. And that makes a huge difference when you're towing some, or pulling or driving a truck with a camper in the back. Massive difference. So it's worth checking them out. We're not going to get into all the details of everything else about them, but they definitely work. If you have a truck camper, you want to look at these things. So go to torquelift.com. They have them there. You can put in your year, make, and model of your truck. It'll give you an idea of pricing and so forth.
Nice.
Great option. So check that out when you have the chance. So go to their website, torquelift.com. Now, again, as a reminder, you can go to youtube.com. The Smart RVer, and check out our channel there.
Mm-hmm.
See what we have to offer. Great videos, all sorts of stuff, and share it with your friends and family, anybody you know that has an RV.
Yeah.
So much to learn, and it's great to be able to share things like this. So I want to thank everybody for stopping by today. Our next episode, 150, is going to be about RV warranties have become such a hot topic in 2024. And it's really talking about how bad the warranties have become, just to give you an idea. But we're going to explain it to you so you have a better idea, so you can get things done under a warranty where sometimes they try to deceive you and you can't.
Yeah.
But we're going to cut through all the garbage so you know what's going on. All right. So this is Eric Stark with the Smart RVer Podcast. It's been great hanging out with you today, and you too, Alexis.
Thanks. It was fun.
So if I don't see you on the road, let's connect at the SmartRVer.com.